The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game, coming to you live from Connecticut School of Broadcasting, the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcast media schools. Make sure you check them out on the web at www.gocsb.com or give them a call at 1-800-TV-RADIO. That's 1-800-TV-RADIO. Got a great show lined up for you today. Going to have my main man, Hollis Thomas, giving us a call today. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Eagles and, of course, Refgate. The weekend this has just passed, but the referees blew almost every call imaginable. Going to have my man Ron Rice, former Detroit Lion, come and talk about Living for the City Project, a great charitable contribution from the Detroit Lions alumni. And my main man from Edge of Sports, Dave Zarim, going to call in, talk a little bit about my CNN article, Athletes in Politics, and where do they stand today in today's politics. But first, going to jump into our pro perspective. And our first edition of Pro Perspective had my man Hollis Thomas. He's going to give us his pro perspective of the Philadelphia Eagles and the weekend that was with the replacement referees. Hollis, my man, what's going on?
Chilling. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. What's going on in the 215, brother?
It's a slow motion. Everything is copacetic over there.
I can dig it, man. I can dig it. Definitely, man. Congratulations with all the great things you're doing up there in Philadelphia, man. Love that you're on Philadelphia Radio. 13-year NFL veteran, man, Eagle, but Philly always going to be home to you.
Almost definitely. I spent most of my career here, pretty much turned into a man here. I spent the first 10 years of my career, and I'm a 14-year vet, man.
My bad, brother. I missed you by a year. Make sure you check my man Hollis out on Sports Radio Whip on the morning from 7 to 10 a.m. So, Hollis, my man, back in Philadelphia. You know I'm a born and raised guy right out of Chester, PA, right outside of Philly, man. What's up with your boy Michael Vick? What happened against the Arizona Cardinals this weekend?
Well, first of all, let me slow your roll right back because it's not all his fault.
Right.
It starts with the offensive line and a little bit of the coaching. Like Andy admitted in his press conference that he thought that he couldn't run against him, so he went to the pass right away. But if you have a brand new center, who let's face it, if he's on practice squad and he didn't make the regular squad. he's going to get the ones now, and it's like they just sick the dogs. There's a bunch of angry birds running in there, Mike. So I don't know if you were able to catch the game, but it was one play where he got the ball. He came from under center, and before pretty much he could move, there was a defensive back and a linebacker, you know, on the back of that seven.
Wow.
And they exploited that. But he's just and actually, if you want to be technical about it, you want to know what's wrong with Michael Vick?
What's wrong with him, HT?
He got hit 15 times in the first half. And just how many times Shady McCoy touched the ball in the first half?
And that's all funny, man. That was my next question.
Four times.
Are they not utilizing the boy Shady McCoy after that big contract that both of those guys just had to help Michael Vick out in this situation? Why is Andy Reid not giving him that ball?
Well, I don't know. And you know what? Everybody's keep talking about how good the offensive line is. It's like, right. You know, before Juan moved over to the defense coordinator, Mike Vick hardly ever got hit. And then they got Howard Mudd. And he's got the small guys. You know, you can't have any small guys. Not saying that you can't have any small guys in there, but when you're trying to run the stature of offense that they're trying to run, and when you give seven step drops for your quarterback, you gotta have some meat up in the middle to stop the meat from coming.
Right. And that's why we call this pro's perspective. You know, HC, I never thought about that, man. Juan Castillo leaves the offensive line, and then they go to Mudd. Right. No pun intended.
And then they, if you notice, they got rid of all the big stuff. The big, like, they had Jamal Jackson. He was playing center. He was 6'5", 6'6", 315, 330 pounds.
Right.
So, the guard was Harriman. He's 6'5", about 315 pounds. The other guard was in and out, Sean Andrews. They was having problems with Sean Andrews, and then they brought a couple of people in and stuff. But they was always big in the middle, where you didn't. Right. That's immediate pressure. That's clear and present danger. And then you put a rookie in there.
Have mercy.
Who you cut and brought back on the practice squad. Granted, he does know the scheme, but apparently he's not good enough to make the squad.
Right. Indeed. If you just joined us, I'm on with my man Hollis Thomas from Sports Radio 94 Whip in Philadelphia. Make sure you give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Well, you're in Philly, HC, and you know, as a former Eagle, you know how the fans are in Philadelphia. What's going on? How long of a leash will the Eagles fans give Mike Vick and Andy Reid as the season continues? I know they have the Giants coming up, a big divisional game. What's the feeling in Philadelphia right now on the future of Michael Vick and Andy Reid in Philly?
Well, you know, winning is the cure for all. So if they win this game, which is a winnable game, because a lot of people were talking about they were going to get killed. I was like, they match up pretty good against the Giants, because first of all, the Giants, they got a decent front seven, but they are hurting in the secondary. All they got is like a McLemore, and I take McLemore any day.
Right.
And then they got a couple of free agents that they got back there. And, you know, the secondary is pretty much woeful right now. So, and then on top of that, I take our defensive front seven versus them. And they match up pretty good, because plus they see them twice a year. Now that Arizona game, we hadn't played Arizona on the twice a year basis in quite some time. So that was like one of them catch 22 games where, you know, you can't win every game. But, you know, with them winning this week and Vic having a good game, that will remedy everything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know it was sort of probably big for Kevin Cobb to come back and actually get a win against the Eagles. I think the team probably backed him on it. I'm still not stolen on Kevin Cobb, just he came to Philadelphia and won. I think Andy Reid usually knows what he's doing when it comes to his quarterback. But you spoke of the matchups with this, the New York Giants. How's Jeremy Maclin's hit pointer? I think they're definitely going to need him going into that matchup.
Well, actually, they were saying that he was going to be – they think he's a go for this week. So he's in that probable stage, and it's probably going to – they probably know about – like, if he practices, I think they'll probably rest him, and then I think they'll probably practice on Friday, you know, to see how he feels on the Friday. So they'll give him another a day of rest to see how he feels the next day. But it's one of the hit pointers. I've had hit pointers before playing the defense line. You get those kind of like all the time because of the double team and where the offensive line is taught to hit you. You kind of get those kind of all the time, and they kind of hard. Once you get like a real bad one, it kind of lingers throughout the season, so it becomes a tolerable pain, and you learn to deal with it.
Right, I heard that. Definitely. If you just joined us again, it's my man Hollis Thomas giving us a call, giving us his pro perspective on the weekend that was. So now, man, I know we talked about the Eagles. Have to get into the refereeing this weekend, which was atrocious. Of course, highlighted in the cherry on top being last night's game. Watching all the games this weekend, and I was telling my cousin earlier today, you know, these guys don't know how to work the refs anymore. The first thing that I would do when I came out to warm up is I would shake the referee's hands and I would schmooze the refs, because I knew I was going to need a flag to stay in as the game went. And it becomes personal. You know, if they like you, they may not make that call. And if they hate you, they're willing to throw that flag out just a little bit faster. Now, of course, with the new refs, a lot of guys are saying they don't have the respect of the refs that have been there for so many years. But give us your take on the referees and where we stand right now.
They totally suck, dude. It's like there's no other way. It's like they suck. And the reason it isn't that the way they call the game, it's how they're slowing the game down and they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
That's pretty much where like the respect thing is coming in. It's like, why should I respect you and I've been doing this forever? I know the rules. You just got here. And y'all meeting pretty much after every play, turning what should be a two-hour, maybe a 10-minute game into a 3-hour, 45-minute affair.
Yeah, nobody wants to be out there that long. But you look at the injury factor as well, man. When guys are out there a lot longer, you know, you get more fatigued. And, you know, when you're fatigued, you know, injuries tend to follow that this weekend. I mean, but it was just atrocious this weekend, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and guys are taking shots at guys coming across the middle now because the other refs are not throwing the flags on. You know, hits on helmet contact, and they're calling like ticky tack holding calls that wouldn't normally be called. It's like they call them like, and then like they call them phantom passing the French call. And it's just like every time somebody throws a flag, they got to have a meeting, in, like they're having a meeting in the ladies' room. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? It's like you tell them what the call is, and that's pretty much it. You should be a long dissertation. It's like, okay, it was holding on number such and such, and you make the call. Like that would speed the game up. I think if the game sped up a little bit, and they were more definitive when they made their call, and they didn't have to go and ask them, is it okay to call this on Peyton Manning? or without the one guy out there with he's calling from you messing up my fantasy points to Shady McCoy.
Right. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get, man. I mean, and it comes down to business, man. A lot of people are all Goodell. You know, the NFL released a statement. I mean, I think everyone with a brain and anyone with common sense, even though sometimes our common sense isn't everyone else's common sense. You know the rules of the NFL. Everyone saw what happened last night. And people got mad at me. I did a radio show this morning. And I said, well, you know, as a defensive back, we're supposed to knock the ball down anyway. So the fact that he went up and tried to intercept the ball and made it a decision to the referees, you can't put a decision in their hands right now. No, they're not really educated enough in the game to make those kind of calls.
Well, some of the guys are back there. From what I defense used to be, some of the guys are back there to intercept the ball if it comes back that far, and some of the guys are there to knock it down. And now he was trying to intercept the ball, and everybody knows in that situation the tie is always going to go to the receiver. And when you play, you could have had an interception. And you and the receiver got that at the same time. It could have been yours. They always gonna give it to the receiver. They always take offensive president over defense.
Right. And I mean, I think that's a great play by Golden Tate. I said that as well. I said, well, smart by Golden Tate on two levels. Smart by Golden Tate to at least get his hands on the ball to make a decision by the referees. And then even better in his post game interview to tell Lisa Salters he didn't know what she was talking about on the pass interference call. That may have been the best highlight of the night for me.
Yeah, he pushed the crap out of dude, but you know, but in that situation, that there goes even if there was a regular referees, they wasn't gonna call a pass interference on the Hail Mary.
Right.
They're not gonna call a pass interference on the Hail Mary, and it's like it's just not gonna happen. But it's like that call actually could have went either way. I was telling my brother, because like once they slowed it down, and I said Golden Tate hand was in front of Jennings' chest, it was like. His hand was in front of the ball, so he couldn't pull it into his chest, which gave him a chance as they was going down to gain access to at least half the ball.
Right.
And
you always know, man, when it's a judgment call, it can go either way, man. I mean, I'm actually a lot of Packer fans are mad. I was really actually pulling for Russell Wilson and Darrell Bevell, my former teammate. But to lose a game and to win a game like that, as the winners, you and me both know, me and you are going to take that win. And it was a party in Seattle with the 13th man, the 14th man, the 15th man. And if you're Green Bay, you have a long flight back home to Green Bay, man. You're getting ready for those New Orleans Saints, one of your former teams as well.
Yeah, because it was. You know what? The funny thing was, is when I was on the radio this morning, I was talking about. You know, it's kind of like when the immaculate reception happened.
Right.
That ball looked like it hit the ground.
And I think going back to film that they said it did. I mean, a lot of articles came out on that this morning, man. So yeah, it was it's definitely the thing about Hollis, man. We got to go. We're getting ready to go to break, man. Always a pleasure to have you on. Everybody, make sure you check my man Hollis out on Sports Radio 94 Whip in Philadelphia every morning from 7 to 10. HT, always a pleasure, brother.
All right, man. Take care.
You too. Be safe. That was my man, Hollis Thomas. Make sure you check him out. As I said, follow him on Twitter, @TheRealTank. When we come back, going to have my former teammate, my safety, my man that showed me the ropes in the NFL, Ron Rice, joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Living for the City project by the Detroit Lions Alumni Association. Stay tuned, LATG Radio.
Flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Lockdown Coverage. Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
This is Lomas Brown, former Detroit Lion and current NFL analyst, and this is my Life After the Game.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. This segment is brought to you by School of the Legends. SOTL is the voice of the NFL player, featuring NFL news, NFL player blogs, exclusive videos, and NFL player polls. SOTL is also a partner of NFL Players Eat. Check them out on the web, www.sotl.com. Welcome back to Life After the Game. Big shout out to my man Hollis Thomas, joining us for the first segment. Now I got my man Ron Double R Rice, my former safety with the Detroit Lions. We're going to talk a little bit about the Living for the City program with the Lions. And, of course, the crazy game and the refs last night. Double R, thanks for joining me, my man.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Can School of Legends get the mobile app together? That's all I ask.
Can they do that,
SOTL,
please? I hate having to log on. School of the Legends, let's get it moving. It's the digital age, fellas, the digital age. Let's make it happen, man.
Let's make it happen.
Well, Double R, man, you got some great things going on up there, man. You know, got the Living for the City project with the Detroit Lions, and I know you, Herman, had a chance to attend one of the events last week. Tell us a little bit about that and what the Lions alumni have planned for the city of Detroit coming up this football season.
Yeah, you know, it's a new dawn in Detroit. You know, after so many years of being the cellar dwellers in the NFL and the NFC North, you know, we've finally put a team together that's competitive. And I think, for the most part, the nation saw that last year, and we're trying to do some things, obviously, this year. You know, we had a game last week that came down to the wire, but the organization is really trying to embrace everything that is Detroit, and that includes, you know, former players like yourself, you know, coming from Wisconsin. You kind of hold the hard road and end up having a great career, and myself, an Eastern Michigan local kid here in Detroit. And I'm still here, but guys, who've come through, guys who stayed, guys who've left, you know, sort of making it an open door policy now for all of the alumni, all the former players, that play in Detroit, and giving them the opportunity to get involved with the city, and the Living for the City, initiative, that was just launched last week over at the Eastern Market, which is basically a farmer's market during the weekends, and also probably one of the largest tailgates in the country, before a pro football game, right down the street from Ford Field, where the Lions play. The Lions were able to,
you know, bring former players like myself. You mentioned Herman Moore, Greg Landry, Matthew Stafford was there, Calvin Johnson, the chief of police, Chief Godby, president of the Lions, Tom LaJuan, and Mayor Bing, all in one setting to kick this thing off. And basically, you have a number of organizations like Hatch Detroit who support retail entrepreneurs and assist them with their business endeavors, financing and services, Playworks, another visible organization that is in 23 U.S. cities that promotes in-school and after-school activities like NFL Play 60, Goodwill Industries, who helps place jobless individuals back into the workforce, the Lions Academy, which is the Detroit Lions Charter School, which opened in 2001, and they serve students in the grades of 6 through 8 who have had previous academic attendance or behavioral challenges. And then, again, I mentioned the Eastern Market where, you know, again, they, a lot of fans will go and tailgate, but during the weekends throughout the summer and the spring, you can go down there and you can get your fresh fruits, your fresh veggies, your poultry, your fish, and your beef.
Right.
And so bringing all of these organizations together and saying, how can we impact and influence our community? You know, football is the thing that brings everybody together, gets them in the door. We all share that common brand, that common bond. Before, a lot of the football fans, you know, some of them are having economic issues. Some of them are without jobs. And a lot of them are students. Aspiring athletes having trouble in the classroom, and you know, going out and also saying that, hold on, let's do some community, or excuse me, some health screening here, and also teach all of our fans and our citizens in the city about healthy living and healthy choices and how to prepare.
Yeah, man. And I think one of the things that I think I really appreciate from my days in Detroit, and that doesn't get a lot of appreciation, was our fan base. Because I remember our rough years, Double R, and our place, you know, would still be sold out. It would still be rocking. The fans would still come and support us. So, you know, with Alumni Weekend coming up and all the great things you guys are doing up there, I mean, I think this is the perfect week to kick that off. And like you said, you know, people don't understand that, you know, you become a part of the city that you played in. I'm always going to consider Detroit my second home. I grew up there, you know, my rookie year was there, and being a free agent, and you know this as well, being a free agent yourself from Eastern Michigan, that kind of took me under your wing, is that the city somewhat adopts you, and that fan base becomes part of your family as well. So to see the efforts of everyone giving back to the city, man, just really just means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to the community up there as well.
Oh, it does. I mean, you have a lot of, you have a lot of organizations, and all they want to do is just, you know, get the ticket.
Right.
You know, and that's a preseason ticket, that's a postseason, and a regular season ticket. You know, but ownership now, and good blessings to the Ford family for getting behind this whole initiative and saying, let's embrace all of our fans who come to the game. Let's embrace those fans that can't make the game. You know, by partnering with all of these organizations, and a lot of people just need help and assistance, and basically that's what it is, and also allowing the alumni to play a part in that whole process. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it means a lot, man. I mean, the Alumni Weekend is this weekend. I'm not going to be able to make it, man. I'm really upset about that.
Oh, man.
I really am upset about that. If you just join us a moment with my man, Ron Rice, Detroit Lions NFL alum, give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. But I will be up there for the Atlanta game in December when the Falcons come up there to the D. So I will definitely
be
there, man.
Too. Atlanta is looking really, really good.
Yeah, they look real good, man. But let's talk about who didn't look good this weekend, man. I'm asking every NFL player that I had on the show today, man, your feelings on the referees this weekend. Was this weekend and last night the tipping point for the NFL refs?
I mean, it can't get any worse. It can't get any worse. The last thing you want to do is have the referees determine the outcome of a game.
Right.
That should be done by the players, those 22 that are on the field, especially when you talk about the last play, a Monday night high exposure game when everybody's watching.
Right.
Everybody's watching. Twitter went crazy last night, didn't it?
Yes,
everybody's
they did.
On there, and a play that's an apparent interception to anybody in the stadium, anybody watching, and you blow that, and to not even be on the same page, Lamar, to me, which was comical, when you got the back judge basically saying touchback, and then the side judge, he comes around and says touchdown. and then you review it, but apparently you can't review a reception. You can
right.
just review if there was a point scored.
Right.
So, I
right.
mean, it's ridiculous. It's time to get the guys back on the field, the Ed Hockleys and all those guys that really have had the tenure, and let's really play some football and get down to what's right and get, and let's stop wrestling on the field. I've seen so many wrestling
right.
matches this past weekend. It was insane.
Yeah, the old school football. I saw Madre G on the sideline last night. I would have loved to get him a call and see what he was
sure
up to.
I sure did.
Up there.
I saw him stand behind Coach. Smart man. You want
yeah.
camera time? Stand behind the head coach. That's how I go.
Madre G's the man, but another point that came up this morning, man. So, you know, I know how you feel about the referees. I feel the same way. To lose a game like that was definitely a long flight back for the Packers, and to win a game like that, it was a party in Seattle. But me and you were a part of one of those blown calls my rookie year on Thanksgiving.
Oh, Jerome, yeah.
Overtime, the coin toss.
Coin toss with against the Steelers.
Take this win and run with it. And what do you think Seattle should do? And what was the best part of Golden Tate's performance last night? Was his performance on the field, or was it his performance when Lisa Salters asked him about the pass interference?
Yeah, Golden Tate was in complete denial. You know, of course he was being facetious. You know, what are you talking about? What pass interference? What push? You know,
right.
I didn't see it. I didn't do anything. You know, I mean, that's somewhat to be expected. You know, but I mean, just admit it and own up to say, hey, you know what? I mean, you're still a player when it comes down to it. Next week, if they don't have the deal done, you're going to have the same guys on the field. And
right.
it might be you. So, man up. Okay, they gave us one. We need to get these officials back in the game, because if it happens again, there might be blood, you know?
Right, right.
And you don't want guys to get injured. You know, it's a safety issue. If they're letting too much go, it was a fiasco.
Right, it really was, man. But it was just hilarious when I saw Golden Tate's interview and he said that the Lisa Salters, all I could think about was Robert Porche's post-game interview after we beat the Steelers in overtime after that coin toss. And Robert said, I thought he said tails.
Well, listen, Jerome was in there like, hold on, what's going on? What's going on? You know, and totally ignored it. But that's the thing. They got to stick to their guns.
Right, right.
You know, they're going to stick to the guns. It's just like in basketball. You know, I didn't foul him. And maybe you didn't, but the ref called it. And he's not going to reverse the call. In all my years of playing ball and coaching ball and all this other stuff, I've never seen an official go back and say, you know what, man, you're right. You're right.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
guys,
let me get
guys don't know how to work the refs.
The
like,
yards
we used to
back
work
on.
The refs back today, man. We used to work the refs, man. Ask them how they were doing. Tell them to have a good game. No, I definitely don't see that flag too much today. Keep that laundry in your pants. You know, whatever you had to say just to get on their good side. Because you never knew. You know, when we played in the black and blue division, you know, it was a lot of hits going on up there. So it could go, any game could go either way. Double R, we're short on time, man. Listen. Have fun at the alumni weekend. I wish I could be there, man. Tell all the fellas I said what's up, man. And congrats on all the great things, man, that you're a part of up there in Detroit, man. We'd love to have you back on the show as the season goes on. And keep us up to date what's going on in the D.
Absolutely, Cam. Keep doing good things, my brother.
Will do, Double R. Talk to you soon, brother.
All right, later.
That was my man, Ron Wright, safety for the Detroit Lions, man. Great guy, man. Great opportunity up there in Detroit, man. If you're looking to do anything, you're looking to be a part of living for the city with the Detroit Lions, all you have to do, and for those inspired to do and give more, we encourage that the fans contact their philanthropy partners directly for ways to get involved. And then the players will also be involved in living for the city as well. I know Nick Farley is out today. They're having a great event out there, handing out some lunches in the Eastern Market. And also Lions Play 60 program in partnership with Playworth Detroit encourages play in a way to help make kids the right choice when it comes to respecting and including others. During the school year, training program coordinators will work with the students at the Detroit Lions Academy and Detroit Public Schools. And shout out to my old adoptive school in Detroit, Campbell Elementary School. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are still thriving up there. Had a great time. And I will definitely be back to the D this year. I won't make the alumni game, but I will definitely be back. But stay tuned, everyone, when we come back. Going to have my man Dave Zarin from Edge of Sports. He's going to come and talk a little athlete and politics. And, of course, the big issue of the day, the referees. He wrote a great article this morning on his website, www.edgeofsports.com. NFL scab referees and the return of TV bloopers. Stay tuned with LETG Radio.
internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
This is Kurt Schilling, and this is My Life After the Game.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. This segment brought to you by the Success of Real Estate, where you're looking to buy, lease, or sell. Atlanta Real Estate, the Success of Real Estate, has all your answers covered. Give them a call at 678-886-0874. Visit them on the web, www.thesuccessofrealestate.com. Double big shout out to my man Double R for coming on, giving us a little feedback on Detroit Lion living for the city. But I have a very, very special guest on, author of Welcome to the Terror Dome, David Zarina, joining me today from beautiful Chocolate City. Well, I think they said it was Vanilla City now, but either way, we all like it Neapolitan. Anyway, as long as they come delicious. Dave, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be here. Think of it as Cafe Latte City.
I like that. I like that. It all works, man. It all works, man. We definitely want to talk to you about the great article you wrote on your website today, Edge of Sports, the Sky Referees and Return of TV Bloopers. But I want to tell you on a little politics side, man. And I wrote an article for CNN this past weekend. Pro athletes ignore backlash and show their true political colors, man. I know you wrote a great book. Anyone that doesn't have it, make sure you pick up his book, Welcome to the Terror Dome. It's available on Amazon. The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports, and forwarded by Chuck D. What do you think about politics and sports? Man, I thought it was a great read. I thought Roberto Clemente was one of my favorite parts of the book. What do you think athletes now stand on politics? And are they as scared as they used to be as far as not losing their endorsement deals and actually taking a stand, and how does social media play a part in that?
I think it's very important, first of all, that we take a step back and look at this with some precision, because it's very easy to say what a lot of people say, which is athletes were political in the 60s and they're not political now. And it's a very binary way to look at it. And I think if you take a step back, though, and look more closely, see the forest for the trees, what you see is, yes, athletes were at their apex of political involvement in the 60s, but it hit an absolute death valley in the 1990s.
Right.
And I think you've seen it go up considerably since the 1990s. Like, if this was a graph or a poll, it's going in the right direction in terms of athletes leveraging their cultural position and their cultural capital to try to make a political difference. I mean, you've seen just in the last several years, couple of years, You saw many athletes speak out after Trayvon Martin was killed. That's not something I think you would have seen in the 1990s.
Right.
You've seen a lot of athletes use social media like Twitter and Facebook to express their political views. And you've seen a lot of athletes realize that to be more than just a brand is actually something to aspire towards. And I think that's a very, very big difference than in the 1990s.
Right. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head, Dave. I mean, you look at, I think that dead period, that death valley you talked about was pretty much in the statement of two statements that I believe is when Michael Jordan's statement of Republicans buy sneakers too, and Charles Barkley, I shouldn't be a role model. Because I play basketball, doesn't mean that I should raise your kids. Athletes stayed away from those type of controversies. Those were when the endorsement deals first, the huge endorsement deals first started to get signed, and that was a red flag. No one wanted to be political. But I think now, as you said, Dave, with the rise of social media and athletes owning their own brand, they're more willing to step forward and take that chance to let people know what they stand for. You know, you look at the Olympics that just passed this year. That, of course, the Olympics are supposed to be the most non-political sporting event in the world, but in all reality, they are the most political sporting event every 4 years, because people always make their personal political statements at the Olympics.
That's exactly right. And I think, once again, looking at the 1990s is evocative. And one of the big differences is the sports media in the United States has historically skewed much very old, and as far as the columnists, it's skewed very Caucasian. And that actually matters, because it's about, do we have multiple perspectives or not? It's not blasting people for the color of their skin. It's just saying there's a narrowness of perspective. And those percentages really have not changed. They've been very static in terms of who has power in the sports room. Bill Roden, African-American columnist for the New York Times, I mean, he describes walking into a press box, as they say, it's like walking into the wrong side of the lunch counter in the South in the 1950s, it feels like sometimes. But to take it back, to social media, but what's changed is their lock, their death grip on the discourse has loosened dramatically over the last 20 years. And let me give one example for what I'm talking about here. Back in 1993, a basketball player by the name of Olden Polonese, whose family is from Haiti, he made the decision to protest the fact that Bill Clinton went back on a promise after he was elected to let in HIV-positive Haitian refugees into the United States, who were basically floating out at sea with nowhere to go.
Right.
And Olden Polonese made the decision to have an in-season hunger strike in protest. Stopped eating in the middle of an NBA season to protest, and still played in the games. Now, I went back and researched this. He was blasted for being selfish. He was blasted for not thinking about his team. He was blasted for saying sports and politics mix when all the writers were saying they don't mix, get off your soapbox. And he eventually caved and stopped doing it, and he just got a torrent of negative publicity. I believe very strongly that if an Olden Polonese in 2012 did that today, there would be a Twitter campaign in support of him.
Exactly.
There would be a change.org petition in support of him. He'd be able to go on shows like yours, which don't depend on having like a massive like Clear Channel station conduit for people to hear your ideas and your words. There would just be other ways to get the word out, and the grip on information wouldn't be so tight or so shaped.
Right, right. And I think, you know, when I put the article out, you know, the comments were interesting, Dave, but I know for me, I actually kind of welcome that. You know, people can have it both ways. First is athletes don't stand up and do enough in the community. They don't stand up for anything. And now that they do, you know, there's a complete backlash. I mean, you have Tim Tebow and his anti-abortion commercial. You have the, name just slipped my mind, but he did, Stanley Cup champion, the goalie, did not want to go to the White House because of his political views. Yeah, exactly. But guys have opinions, and they have a right to voice their opinions. And the negative feedback that they get, that they used to get, I think, is really diminishing, man. I actually welcome that. I actually welcome these guys actually taking a stand for something besides, you know, getting on the court or getting on the field or vice versa.
Yeah, and I think that's the first thing, too, is that whether an athlete says something that I agree with or that I disagree with, I think the first thing you got to do is defend their right to just say anything. Because far too many athletes still, to this day, really do believe that they've signed away their rights to opinions because they've signed a contract with an NFL team. And there are real pressures that try to sculpt athletes, or shape them, I should say, away from speaking out, from getting on any kind of a soapbox. So anytime someone speaks out, it loosens the oxygen up a little bit and allows for a little more oxygen into the room. And look, if more athletes were self-motivated and political, I think we would all benefit. And just let me say one example of that. We wouldn't be dealing with this NFL referee nonsense right now.
Yep.
Because if you had as many as just two on each team, the offensive and defensive captain on each NFL team, if they held a press conference with 64 players, if they held a press conference and said, we're not going to take the field until the old refs are back on the field, then this lockout would end faster than an RG3 40-yard dash.
Awesome. And I mean, that would be awesome.
We lose their power to advocate for us.
Right, exactly. If you just join us, I'm on with Dave Zirin, author. Welcome to the Terror Dome, and author of EdgeOfSports.com. And it's just an awesome interview all around. And speaking, let's go ahead and change issues, man. You wrote a great column today, NFL scab referees and the return of TV bloopers. And my man, you could not have been more dead on. How embarrassing has the weekend been for the NFL referees?
I mean, I wrote that even before the catastrophe last night with the immaculate deception, the catch by Golden Tate, or I'll call it Golden Gate, after Golden Gate Bridge and like the whole Watergate thing. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I wrote it before then because the things that I saw on Sunday, to me, were like looking at a train at the end of a tunnel with a very bright light coming at you at 90 miles an hour. And unless the train stops, you're going to get cream. There's no getting out of the way from the train. Because so far we've seen, it's not just about the blown calls. It's not just about people losing money and they're, you know, betting in Vegas. Although last night's game, by the way, the latest figures are $250 million were lost by people because of that last call in the game. It's not about that at all. To me, it's about somebody's going to get hurt.
Right.
And I don't blame the players for this at all. You know this as well as anybody. And I know this as well. That NFL players are wired to look for edges, for advantages on the margins. And NFL players are also wired to, pardon the expression, take the law in their own hands if they feel like a game is not being policed properly.
Right.
It's like any sport. And frankly, I don't think it's unique to the NFL. I have a ton of experience at this playing on the high school level.
Right.
It's like you always look for where the boundaries are on the field of play that are established by the officials. And if those boundaries look malleable, you will exercise your right to get whatever edge you can in that game. And it may not make, like your parents proud on the sideline, but it makes your coach happy and it makes your teammates happy. And that's all that matters. And what makes me so scared, even just tuning into a game, is that you can see just something terrible happening. I mean, like that hit on Matt Schaub or some of the other helmet hits.
Right.
Tony Romo,
Darius Hayward-Bey took a rough hit this
weekend
as well.
That were not called on the field of play. And it's like they need to settle this right away. I mean, the owners, and I believe that we talked about this on my show, and I really do believe this very strongly. You were more charitable than I was on the show, but I believe it strongly. And since I'm the guest on your show, I get to state it strongly, which is
nice.
Please
do, brother. Please do.
And that's this. I think that the NFL owners are exposing themselves as being utterly insincere when they say they care about players' health.
Right.
Because if they actually cared about the health of players, if it wasn't just public relations, if it wasn't just trying to get favorable media attention before they have to face this 2,000-person class action lawsuit, then they would be saying, we need to get the referees back on the field by any means necessary.
Right, and you hit it right on the head, Dave. I mean, you look at three-hour games at the most turning into almost four-hour games. When fatigue and all those other issues come into play, as you said, injuries are going to follow that. You look at the integrity of the game. You're dealing with 32 guys, and I mean the owners, who don't like losing. They're not used to losing. They're not used to being on the side of a losing deal in their entire lives. And it becomes an ego trip, I believe, now with the NFL referees.
NFL players tweeting out,
find me and play the refs. They'll rather have the regular refs back because they know that their careers could be on the line. And now it's finally caused the NFL a game. But the flip side is, and I believe it, and I don't want to believe it, but I believe the NFL owners love that it's so much controversy because ratings will go up, ticket sales will go up. And at the end of the day, I believe that they think they're going to win.
Lamar, I've heard other people say that, and I really hope and pray that they're more farsighted than that. Because
right.
if they are adopting, let's call it the Donald Trump approach or the Kim Kardashian approach, that it doesn't matter what they say about the NFL as long as they spell the name right and get the initials right.
Right.
They are messing with the core integrity of something that an entire nation has bought into at this point. I mean, we live in a very fractured country in terms of music, in terms of television shows. And the NFL, I mean, for I say this not as a praise of the NFL. I say this as an observation of objective fact. This might be one of the last unifying cultural markers that we have. I mean, it used to be everybody watched The Cosby Show and Family Ties. You know, it used to be everybody wanted to know who shot J.R. Everybody had the Thriller album. Those days are dead.
Yeah, because man. That's the one thing that brings it today, man. We got to go to commercial, man. I definitely appreciate you coming on. All my followers, follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports. Make sure you check out his website, www.edgeofsports.com, and pick up his books, The John Carlos Story and Welcome to the Terror Dome. I mean, Welcome to the Terror Dome. Dave Zirin, always a pleasure, my man. Thank you so much. Come back anytime.
Oh, thank you, Lamar. Thank you so much. And right back at you.
Thanks, bro. You have a good one up there.
What was that?
I said, you have a good one up there.
Oh, thanks.
In Latte City.
and I know you had the Thriller album, so don't even front like you didn't, okay?
I had the jacket and the glove.
I knew you had the glove.
Hey, Dave, you have a good one up there, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye. That was my man, Dave Zirin from edgeofsports.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. LATG Radio.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
I'm Keyshawn Johnson, currently NFL analyst for ESPN. You're listening to Life After the Game.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. Your host, Lamar Lucky Campbell, here with my producer, Domino. Going to jump back into the Lex 7. If you have not, do it. There is an app for Life After the Game. Go to Apple, download our iTunes app, Life After the Game. We'll be sitting right there waiting for you to catch all our updates with all your favorite professional, active, and retired players. Catching up. Great conversation there with Dave. Always a pleasure to have him on Edge of Sports. What did you think about that, Domino?
I thought it was great. I think Dave has great insight in the game, and he's a big fan of it. You can just tell.
Yeah, I mean, he has some great books, man. John Carlos Story and Welcome to the Terror Dome. Definitely had to let you hold that one. Definitely a great sport to talk about the politics and sports and necessary avenue. It was a great point he had. If two of the offensive and defensive captains stood up and they had a huge press conference, said they were not going to play until the refs came back. I mean, that's a political stand. Whether you like it or not, you look at the NFL owners, you know, Roger Goodell is their agent. You know, that's a really political stand. I think he's right. I think the refs will be back this weekend if all the players took a stand like that.
I think they will. I think they would be back. But also, I think you have backlash from the fans,
right,
more so than from the replacement refs. If
right.
their offensive and defensive teammates got up and said, we're not going to play, I know I'm a big Eagles fan. If anybody got up and said, we're not going to play, I'll be upset.
Right.
Very upset.
I could dig it. I could dig it. Well, let's talk about somebody that did play this weekend. Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, playing. I can't imagine how he did it, but, you know, his brother passed away, as we know, from a motorcycle accident early Sunday morning, and came back and was a pivotal part of the Ravens being the New England Patriots. He had a 6 receptions for 127 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, to come back and play after a loss like that is completely incredible. But at the same time, I can understand, because as a former player, that was my place of relaxation. Like, to get away from everything, yes. Sunday afternoons, Monday nights, or Saturday nights were my way to just get away from everything and do what I love to do.
And, well, he got the phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. He went to Virginia. And when I heard about it, I was thinking, if any player in the NFL needed to play the next day, you would want to play for the Ravens.
Right.
With Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, it just, you left Virginia with your real family, and you go back to Baltimore, and you still have family in Baltimore.
Right. And people don't realize, playing, Marsh Falk had a great statement on NFL Network. Playing is therapy for your soul, and it's an escape. What he did in this game is going to lift him up and give his family something to be excited about, is what his brother would have wanted. And when you see a performance like that, like whenever a player has a loss in a family or a huge loss, I can't think of one time that if they played that game, and I think back to Brett Favre's game, the day that he lost his father, that Monday night game, I've never seen a player come out and perform better than after the loss of a family, because he knows that that's his place of solace, and that's his way of getting over that tragedy.
Yes, it is. And it comes from within, and a lot of players can't do it. I'm sure a lot of people go through things. And to be under the spotlight like this, I'm sure he knows everybody was watching.
Right.
His family is watching. You know, it's a home game. And you just come out and you don't care about anything. You know, when you get a second, you think about your brother. And other than that, you're just into the game.
Right. And I think what I loved about the team aspect, as you said, you got Ed Reed, you had Ray Lewis, two of the greatest motivators ever in college and professional football. And you look at Joe Flacco, and there was a lot of talk of Joe Flacco not being an elite quarterback. The way he kept targeting Torrey Smith, he kept throwing the ball to Torrey Smith. I remember two plays to him, two fade routes back to back. And that was kind of his way, being on the sideline, experiencing that firsthand. That's him pretty much saying to you, I have your back. I believe in you. I know you're going to make a play for us. That was kind of his pat on the back, his shaking his hand, him picking him up off the ground and saying, we're here for you. We believe in you. And that meant a lot to me. And if you talk to any NFL champion, anybody that has opportunity, it starts from the front office down. And the relationship that they have with the front office and their teammates plays a pivotal role on their road to that Super Bowl championship.
Yes, it does. And the Ravens organization just seems like a family. I mean, you have John Harbaugh, who was there before Brian Billick left, so they never really lost a step, and they have the same players in place. So there's a structure. There, you know, they say two times a coincidence. You know, they have been together for way more than 3 years. This is a trend.
Right. I mean, it's definitely a trend. I mean, I don't want to say they're the Super Bowl favorites right now, but you have to say that based on the performance of that entire team Sunday night, that they are a closer team, and I think that's going to guarantee them a couple more wins. When you have a team that believes in each other and supports each other like that, that's what you're going to need in those fourth quarter grinded out games when the game is on the line, that you're going to need a team to come together in that way. And I think that's going to give them a couple of more wins. If not, I think they will make the AFC Championship game at least.
Yes, because this was a weekend event for most of America. For the Ravens, this will last beyond September, October. Right. It'll be a season-long thing.
Right.
And it'll be motivation. It will be a lot of motivation.
Right. Them Harbaugh boys, I will say, the Harbaugh boys know how to get their teams to rally around each other. I will get the Harbaugh boys that, out there in San Fran and in Baltimore, they know how to rally a team. You know, so kudos to them for having that family atmosphere. We got about 4 minutes till close. 3 minutes till close, man. So we're going to go with our Have Mercy Moments of the Weekend. Can't leave without our Have Mercy Moments of the Weekend. My Have Mercy Moment of the Weekend has to be the Green Bay Packer game and Seattle Seahawks game last night. have mercy because, of course, and me talked about this a little earlier, Russell Wilson, a University of Wisconsin yes. Badger, and Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator for Seattle Seahawks, and my man Madre G, who worked with me in Detroit, of Seattle Seahawks, and I hate Green Bay just because I was from the black and blue division. Even though I went to Wisconsin, I love to beat Green Bay, although I did love to play in Lambeau Field. But MD Jennings, the defensive back, have mercy for not batting the ball down and trying to intercept it and making it a judgment call for our replacement referees. Therefore, it's a long ride home to Green Bay. Have mercy.
My have mercy moment for the weekend will go to Jim Schwartz. Who has such a love for the referees that he won't even give them the decision. He'll make it easy. So my have mercy moment does go to Jim Schwartz. Good job, buddy.
Great, great have mercy moment. Unfortunately, it was at the expense of my Detroit line. That's all right, fellas. We're going to bounce back. Alumni weekend. Watch out for the Vikings. They've been playing extremely well. Definitely want to give a shout out to our guest today, my man Hollis Thomas calling in from Philadelphia. My big man Ron Rice calling in from Detroit Lions. Make sure you check them out, www.detroitlions.com, and make sure become a part of the Living for the City program. Of course, my man Dave Zarin, author of Welcome to the Terror Dome and the John Carlos Store. Shout out to my engineer Matt out there in beautiful, sunny Arizona. I need to get out there soon, buddy. This is Lamar Campbell. Remember to always have the perfect state of mind for success. See you next week, LATG Radio.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.